Good evening, everyone. God bless you. Once again, it's so wonderful to be together in God's house, to study His Word, and to be with each other. It's such a blessing, the sweet fellowship that we get to share together. So tonight I want to have you open your Bibles to the book of Job, chapter 10. Tonight we're going to be covering chapters 10 through 13. And so I just wanted to quickly remind us or share with you, if you haven't heard, some of the main lessons that we've learned thus far. And the first is, in chapters 1 through 3, the big idea was godly people love God for who He is, not merely for what He gives. And if you really love Jesus, or if you're growing in your love for Christ, you will say, I love Jesus, period. He's given me everything the moment He saved me. I have eternal life. Anything beyond that is just a blessing. I love God for who He is, not for what He gives. I just love Him. The second lesson that we learned, and this was in chapters 4 through 7, was good doctrine becomes bad counsel when misapplied. Truth, if it's not used correctly, can cause a lot of damage. It can hurt, especially people who are suffering, as the context is about Job, who is suffering, and his friends came and they shared truth, but it didn't apply to Job. And it was very hurtful on top of what he was going through. The third thing that we took from our study in chapters 8 and 9 was to don't equate suffering with personal sin. Suffering is not always the direct result of personal sin. And so when we see someone suffering and that thought comes to mind when we really don't know, must be because of some sin in their life. That's not the approach we should take. We should start with compassion. We should start with compassion. And the same applies to us. The other day I was cutting the grass, and then I came into the house and shut my garage door. And I don't want to gross you out, but I took off my pants in the garage. And I shook the jeans just to get the grass off. I would have done it outside, but I think Nina wouldn't approve of that. And for whatever reason, the button on the jeans hit my hand. I don't know if you could see that cut. And you know where the first words that came out of my mouth were? Why? Why? I was just cutting the grass. Why? I don't understand. Have you ever done that? And there are times when there are things that happen to us and we're left with, why? Why? And then we can go down the rabbit trail of, it must have been something that I've done, maybe some sin in my life, or, you know, and just start putting heavies on yourself. So, suffering is not always a result of sin. It can be, but that's not the default conclusion. We should have compassion towards others who are suffering and be mindful that when we are going through something and we don't really know why, that perhaps it's just an opportunity for us to demonstrate the love of Christ in our suffering like Christ showed love when he was suffering. No greater love than to lay down your life for a friend. And he gave his life on the cross. So that leads us to tonight, chapters 10 through 13. And we briefly touched on it last week, but if you are a note taker, the big idea of these chapters are when you don't understand God's purposes, trust God's character. When you don't understand God's purposes, trust God's character. And there's so many things that have been revealed about God and his love for us, his love for you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God created you in his image for a purpose, with purpose, and for a purpose. You are his sons and daughters because you've put faith in Christ and you've been adopted into the family of God. And God himself dwells inside of you. You are not God, but God dwells in you. And Jesus said, one day I will come and receive you to myself. In my Father's house are many mansions. There's so many things that we know about God, his love for us, and all that he did in order for us to have a relationship with. So when there are those things that we don't understand why, we know that God loves us and that he's with us, and we focus on what we do know instead of what we don't know. And that's what Job is doing. He's trusting God's character in the circumstances of his life, and he does not know why he's going through what he's going through. He knows it's not because of any personal sin. And he is in such a place of sorrow and suffering. Now, just to put it in context, he lost all his wealth. He lost 10 of his children, which it was all his kids, 7 sons and 3 daughters. They all died. This all happened quickly, within a short period of time. It was one thing after another. Then he lost the support of his wife. I don't know if you've ever lost family support. That's hard when your family won't support you, doesn't support you, in doing right. In doing right, maybe you came to Christ and then somebody in your family says, you know what? I don't want anything to do with you anymore. That's hurtful. And then he lost his health. So he was suffering. And as a godly man, he did the right thing, which is to bring his cares to the Lord. I mean, his friends came and tried to encourage him, but they were terrible counselors. They were terrible counselors because they were looking at his life and what he was going through, and all three of them agreed it must be because of sin, and they were just putting heavies on him. But Job, he's trusting God, even with all that he's gone through and without the comfort of good friends. And so he's expressing his feelings. This is poetic language. I wouldn't make doctrines out of what Job is saying. A lot of it is, there's truth, and what we hear in some of these statements, whether it's different friends that are talking, there's a lot of truth, but there's a lot of things that are being said out of feelings. And so we want to make sure that when we consider doctrine, we're considering the doctrines in the epistles. And anything that comes to our mind and we think, what about this? Always go to the New Testament because it's complete. And make sure that whatever you read in the New Testament or in the Old Testament is also compared with the New Testament, and the New Testament gives us the full revelation, whether it's life, death, suffering. Paul, Peter, James, these guys teach on it. So if you want to really understand ideas that come to your mind about life, death, suffering, you want to make sure that you don't just come up with some conclusion based on what Job is saying that's being set up out of feelings. You want to make sure you check your thoughts with the New Testament as well. Because the Old Testament is not going to teach something different than the New Testament. The New Testament kind of finalizes everything, gives us the complete. So you want to make sure that you study whatever ideas that you might pick up here in the New Testament. So Job is just talking out of how he feels in his suffering. And he says, my soul, verse 1 of chapter 10, loathes my life. And he says, I will give free course to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. And so here's a godly man. His friends are criticizing him, telling him it's all because of some sin in your life. Job, you need to repent. And Job's like, if I've done anything wrong, I would, but I haven't done anything wrong. And the scriptures are clear. God said earlier in chapters 1 and 2 that Job was blameless. He wasn't sinless, but he was blameless. There was no secret sin. There was nothing that he was doing behind closed doors. He was a man of integrity, a man of character. But these guys were saying something's got to be wrong. There's some kind of sin in your life. So, you know, he's dealing with them and he's saying, look, my complaints, they're valid. I mean, I'm just a... It's okay for me as a godly man to share what I'm going through and what I'm feeling. And you're not going to shut me up. I haven't done anything wrong. And he says that different times, but I'm going to complain. I'm going to express how I feel and what I'm going through. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes we're made to feel that you can't open up if you share what you're going through. You got to be careful. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes what we do in the body is we try to do what Job's friends did, try to fix it and come up with some, there must be something wrong that you're doing instead of just listening. And Job needed somebody to listen to. So you and I, we're going to listen. So he says, I'm going to complain. I hate my life. Right now, the way that I'm suffering and what I'm going through, I'd rather die. That's how I feel. That doesn't mean that that's what he believes, like his doctrines. He believes in the God. He believes in and he understands the Lord, but that's how he feels. You know what that's like, right? You have truth and you understand the truth, but sometimes you feel like, I understand the truth. My faith is not wavering, but I feel horrible. And don't tell me you better just smile and say, praise Jesus. Or there's something's wrong with you. Is it okay if I'm hurting and suffering and I just say, hey, I'm hurting and suffering. Don't fix me. I don't need you to fix me. You can't. Only Jesus can, and right now, I don't know why he's allowing this in my life. But right now, my life stinks. Now, if I were to talk to you like that, you'd probably say, well, Pastor Dave needs some help. But Job, he says, in the bitterness of my soul, I'm going to speak. And what I love is that he's speaking and he's directing his cares to God. He says, I will say to God, do not contend or condemn me. Do not condemn me. And that's what we should do. He's being very raw, very real. He's talking from suffering. He's hurting. And you know, another lesson in here is cast all your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. And God can handle it. He disrespect and being rude and being, insubordinate. I mean, that's different. Being genuine and humble, but yet honest enough to be raw and say, God, I am hurting. Why? Why are you letting this happen? Why? I've been studying and praying. Why? I mean, that's small. That's silly. God can handle that. And he says, don't condemn me. And this is how he's feeling. And his friends are making him feel that way. You're being punished because of something wrong that you've done. And he's feeling, it's like, I know I've done nothing wrong, but I feel like I'm being punished. Show me why you contend with me. Why? Why are you punishing? I don't know why. It feels like I'm being punished. And we know that it wasn't God punishing him. Job doesn't know the upper story. Verse 3, does it seem good to you that you should oppress, that you should despise the work of your hands and smile on the counsel of the wicked? It seems this way. I'm a righteous man. You know I'm righteous. And it doesn't seem right, doesn't seem fair or right that here I'm righteous and I'm suffering and it seems or it appears like wicked people, you just smile down on them because they're not going through stuff. It just seems like righteous should not suffer and the wicked people should be suffering, but it's not that way. I'm suffering and I'm righteous. Do you have eyes of flesh? Or do you see as man sees? Are your days like the days of a mortal man? Are your years like the days of a mighty man that you should seek for my iniquity and search out my sin? Although you know that I am not wicked, and there's no one who can deliver from your hand. And it's almost like as if Job is saying, you know, like, are you like a man? You see and you know with like human eyes and your days like the days of a mortal man that they're temporary. Even the mighty, everyone has like a time where, it's a short time. And so therefore, is it like you are in a rush to try to find something, you know, some flaw in me? And he's just talking out of hurt and pain. In other words, you know, he knows that God is eternal. He knows that there's no reason, but it feels like this is accelerated. I mean, imagine in just a few days losing everything. I mean, it was a couple years. I don't remember. I think it was within 1 year. My dad died, my sister died, and my sister-in-law died. And my sister died young. My dad died at 91. My sister died in her 60s. And then my sister-in-law died in her maybe late 40s, early 50s. Late 40s. I don't remember. But it was all. And then there was other things, other big things that happened all within a very short time. And I continued to pastor, and you see me playing guitar and worshiping the Lord. But it was some of the most difficult years of my life, of our lives, Nina and myself and our family. Now imagine losing 10 kids in one day. So, you know, it's like, why is this accelerating? What's the rush? Are you like a man that you only got a certain amount of time? Your hands have made me and fashioned me an intricate unity, yet you would destroy me. It's like, it doesn't make sense. You created me to just destroy me like this? Remember, I pray, that you have made me like clay, and you will turn me into dust again. I'm just frail. I'm just like a vapor. I'm weak. Did you not pour me out like milk and curd me like cheese? Just a poetic way of talking about creation, how he was created. He was molded and shaped by God. And that's the beautiful thing. The Bible tells us that, you know, he made our intricate parts in our mother's womb. We think our parents made us, but no, our parents brought us into the world. God made us. That's why every child, every person is of value, of great value, because we were created in the image of God. He said, did you not pour me out like milk? And then now verse 11, clothe me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews. You have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. And these things you have hidden in your heart. I don't really know why you're allowing this to happen to me. I know that this was with you. If I sin, then you mark me and will not acquit me of my iniquity. If I am wicked, woe to me. Even if I am righteous, I cannot lift up my head. I am full of disgrace. See my misery? In other words, it's like, you know, I feel like it doesn't matter if I'm wicked or righteous. Either way, I'm suffering. It doesn't seem fair. It doesn't feel right. I mean, I'm righteous. I shouldn't be suffering like this. And yet, it doesn't seem right that whether you're righteous or not, it comes to everybody. And, you know, sometimes when we're hurting, we say things that we don't mean. You know, we're a little out of character. You ever said something that you don't mean? And that's what Job is doing. I'm not saying that he's saying things he doesn't mean. He's just saying things that he out of hurt. And he normally wouldn't talk like this, but he's hurting. And he feels a little bit like, wow, it doesn't really matter if you live wicked or righteous. We all suffer alike. But that's a part of this fall. That's a part of the fallen human experience. There's suffering for everyone. There's no one that's exempt. The difference is the afterlife. But it is a much better life in Jesus. It's a much better life in Jesus. I'd rather suffer in the kingdom for doing what's right and suffer for Christ's sake than to not know Jesus. Because after this, it's eternal. And I'm so thankful that Jesus opened my eyes and I repented. And there's an eternal life with Christ. where there will be no more sorrow, no more pain. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more death. Imagine, and there'll be no more sin. Imagine that. You'll never sin again. No filthy thought. Never. Never. No filthy or sinful action. Never. You'll never struggle. No temptation. You'll be free from that. Isn't it hard to even believe? But it's going to happen. We're going to be set free. And so, if this is all there is, you know, this is the most of hell a Christian will ever experience. In verse 16, he says, if my head is exalted, you hunt me like a fierce lion. And again, you show yourself awesome against me. You renew your witnesses against me and increase your indignation towards me. Changes and war are ever with me. Why then have you brought me out of the womb? Oh, that I had perished and no eye had seen me. I would have been as though I had not been. I would have been carried from the womb, right from the womb to the grave. And are not my days few? Stop. Cease. Leave me alone, that I may take a little comfort before I go to the place from which I shall not return to the land of darkness and the shadow of death, a land as dark as darkness itself, as the shadow of death, without any order, where even the light is like darkness. And again, Job doesn't have the full revelation of eternity. He knows some things, some profound things that he says, but he doesn't know. But the New Testament fills us in. So if you're wondering about eternal life, and Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. And so, and even you see Moses and Elijah, they appeared before Jesus was crucified there in the Mount of Transfiguration, and they were much alive. They were in a glorified state. And so there's a beautiful, you know, presence of God after this life. And the fuller understanding, is as best as we know, is in the New Testament. But, you know, he's like, man, if this was how my life, and why was I even born? You know, just give me a break. Stop all of this. I mean, at this time he had boils. His body was just, it was disgusting what he had all over his body. He would scrape the pus and all the extra flesh that was dying right off his skin, and probably itching, and it smelled. You know, he didn't just shake a pair of jeans and hit his hand. So now we learn a very good lesson here from Zophar, because now Zophar, his third friend, is going to respond to Job. And this is the lesson we learn. And this is so important for us. Don't pretend to know what God hasn't revealed. Don't pretend to know what God hasn't revealed. You do a lot of damage when you feel like you got to answer for God, and you got to have all the answers. You know, when I don't know something, I'm learning, the best thing to say is, I don't know. It's okay. Hey, pastor, why would, that's a real good question. I don't know. I don't have to try to have an answer for everything. And sometimes, you know, there are things that I can go and find out. And I'll say, you know what, that's a good question. Let me go do some research. I'll find out and I'll get back to you. But then there are some things we will not know. And I can't pretend to know what God has not revealed. None of us should do that. But Zophar does. Then Zophar answered and said, should not the multitude of words be answered? In other words, it's almost like if he's saying, you know, you think that by speaking so much and explaining how you're feeling and that, you know, it's going to exonerate you or diminish the fact that, Job, you are a sinner. And all the talking that you doing is not going to get you out of this. I'm here to remind you there's some kind of sin. You're not as good as you think you are. And that's why you're suffering. And so he says, and should a man full of talk be vindicated? Should your empty talk make men hold their peace? And when you mock, should no one rebuke you? See, here Job is sincerely talking to God. He's not talking to that guy. He's talking to God and expressing, God, you know, if this is it, just take me out. Give me some peace. Stop all this, allowing this stuff to happen to me. And this guy, Zophar, looks at Job as if Job is mocking God. That's not what Job is doing. He says in verse 4, for you have said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in your eyes. But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against you. Man, friends like that. And open his lips against you, that he would show you the secrets of wisdom. You know, in other words, Job, you don't know what you're talking about. For they would double your prudence. Wisdom and prudence, are they the same thing? Some of us may wonder, oh, what is prudence? That's the girl down the street. Wisdom is knowing, let's say, for example, the right destination. It's the right thing, the big picture. Prudence is knowing the right steps to get to the destination. Wisdom is knowing or having the skill for living and knowing what's right. Prudence is knowing how to actually implement the practical, to do what's right. Some people know what's right, but they don't know how to do what's right. It's like, I knew I shouldn't have done it, but I did it anyway. It's like, well, they have the wisdom, the know, but they don't have the right doing. He says, know therefore that God exacts from you less than your iniquity deserves. In other words, he's saying, you know, you're really not even getting the full punishment of what you deserve. That's horrible. Horrible. Can you search out the deep things of God, Job? Can you find out the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than heaven. What can you do? They are, or rather, deeper than Sheol, which is another term for the place where the dead go. What can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he passes by, imprisons and gathers to judgment, then who can hinder him? For he knows deceitful men. He sees wickedness also. Will he not then consider it? It's almost as if Zophar is saying, Job, he knows your deception. You don't think God knows? Now, a lot of these things that he's saying, they're true. They're true. And God is almighty. God knows everything. He doesn't have limits. He's not like us. But these truths don't apply to Job. Because he's taking these truths and saying, you're deceiving, you know, you got some kind of sin and you just won't fess up. And that's why you're going through what you're going through. He's misapplying it. And what we're seeing from him is he is pretending he knows what God hasn't revealed. Verse 12, for an empty-headed man will be wise when a wild donkey colt is born a man. In other words, you're an empty-headed man. And just like there will never be a human born from a wild donkey, it's just not a thing. You are not wise for resisting to get right. You are not wise. If you would prepare your heart, Job, and search out your hands toward him, stretch out your hands toward him, if iniquity were in your hand and you put it far away and would not let wickedness dwell in your tents, then surely you could lift up your face without spot. Yes, you could be steadfast and not fear, because you would forget your misery and remember it as waters that have passed away, and your life would be brighter than noonday, though you were dark. You would be like the morning, and you would be secure because there is hope. Yes, you would dig around you and take your rest in safety. You would also lie down, and no one would make you afraid. Yes, many would court your favor, but the eyes of the wicked will fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope, loss of life. So, Job, if you get right, things will get better for you. Then Job said, no doubt you are the people, and wisdom will die with you. In other words, you know everything, and once you die, oh, we're in trouble, because once you die, all wisdom is gone. And he says, but I have understanding as well as you. Basically, I know these things. I already know this. You're not telling me anything new. I'm not inferior to you. Indeed, who does not know such things as these? You know, sometimes it happens to me, and it's a silly thing, but I've been, in the church for many years, pastoring for many years, all kinds of ministry for many years. And then there's sometimes people who've been walking with the Lord 1 or 2 or 3 years, and they tell me, it's like, you don't think I know that? But I sit there, oh, wow, that's great. Praise God. Oh, awesome. Because I don't want to quench somebody's spirit, you know? It's like, you don't think I know that? Now, there's so much I don't know. But has that ever happened to you? Yeah. Remember dads and moms when you had teenagers in the house, and you love your kids. I love my kids. But maybe one or two of them at some point, you know, were trying to tell you all about life, you know, when they're 12 or 13. And you're like, you don't think I know that? Yeah. But all parents go through things like that. So at some point, you know, we all can relate. But he says, I am one mocked by his friends. who called on God, and he answered him, the just and blameless who is ridiculed. And Job has not turned his back on God. He hasn't forsaken the Lord. He's just expressing how he feels. A lamp is despised in the thought of one who is at ease. It is made ready for those whose feet slip. That's a saying, an older saying. Basically, it's easy for you to tell me what I'm going through, and when you're not going through anything. It's easy for you to say that it's light and flippant because you're not going through it. But if you were going through it, then you keep your mouth shut. If you know what I was going through, you wouldn't be talking like that. It's easy for you because you ain't going through it. That's basically what that saying means. The tents of robbers prosper, and those who provoke God are secure, and what God provides by his hands. It's another way of saying it doesn't seem right. Job is trying to, reconcile. Very good. He's trying to reconcile, how is this right? I don't get it. I'm a godly man, a righteous man. And yet, robbers, wicked people, those who provoke God, they seem secure. It seems like everything's going great in their life. And then they're even using what God has prospered them with. They don't give God glory or give God credit, but they're using all God's stuff. They're wicked and they're secure and settled, and here I am suffering. I'm trying to reconcile this. It doesn't make sense to me. But now ask the beasts, and they will teach you, and the birds of the air, and they will tell you, or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, and the fish of the sea will explain to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? God is creator, and God is sovereign. And God, he's got a plan and a purpose. Job may not understand it, but he still trusts God. He still loves God. He hasn't turned his back on God. And whose hand, verse 10, is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? Of course, it's in the Lord. He's sovereign, and this is happening. I don't know why, but I trust him, his character. Does not the ear test words and the mouth taste its food? Wisdom is with aged men and with length of days, understanding. And then this is a quote, I'm not sure, but it says, with him are wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding. If he breaks a thing down, it cannot be rebuilt. If he imprisons a man, there can be no release. If he withholds the waters, they dry up. If he sends them out, they overwhelm the earth. With him are strength and prudence. The deceived and the deceiver are his. He leads counselors, always plunders, and makes fools of the judges. He loosens the bonds of kings and binds their waist with a belt. He leads princes away plunder and overthrows the mighty. He deprives the trusted ones of speech and takes away the discernment of the elders. He pours contempt on princes and disarms the mighty. He uncovers deep things out of darkness and brings the shadow of death to light. He makes nations great and destroys them. He enlarges nations and guides them. He takes away understanding of the chiefs of the people of the earth and makes them wander in pathless wilderness. They grope in the dark without light, and he makes them stagger like a drunken man. It's like, there's a lot of things we see, and God is ultimately sovereign over everything, and we don't understand why things are the way they are, but this is the world that we live in, And from Job's perspective, things made way less sense. We have a greater understanding now because of Christ and the gospel, or the Gospels and the teachings of the apostles. Chapter 13, do you believe it? Behold, my eyes have seen all this. My ears has heard and understood it. What you know, I also know. I'm not inferior to you. But I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. But you forgers of lies, you are all worthless physicians. And the reason why he tells his friends this is because they are speaking on the behalf of God, and they don't know what they're talking about. And they're saying things that aren't true, which is, Job, the reason why you're in the situation you're in is because of some sin in your life. And that's not true. And they're speaking on the behalf of God. And get right with God. And to Job, it's like, you guys are horrible physicians. You're supposed to come and be like a healer, but you're not a healer, you're a herder. You're making things worse. This is malpractice. Trying to put this narrative on me, narrative of lies. Oh, that you would be silent, and it would be your wisdom. Now hear my reasoning and heed my pleadings of my lips. Will you speak wickedly for God and talk deceitfully for him? Will you show partiality for him? Will you contend for God? Will it be well when he searches you out? And later on in the book, all these guys get rebuked by God. He says, Job was right, and you guys were all wrong. And they had to get right. Will he not, or will not his excellence make you afraid, and the dread of him fall upon you? Your platitudes, you know, your little nice sayings, and you know all this stuff that everybody knows. I know this stuff. Our proverbs of ashes. Your defense are defenses of clay. In other words, it's worthless and weak. Hold your peace with me and let me speak. That's a nice. It's a nicer way of saying just shut up and listen. Let it come on me, what may. Why do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hands? That's another idiom. It's like, you know, I might be putting my neck out, you know, but I am genuinely talking to God. I am casting my cares upon him. And if I'm putting my neck out there, so be it. I'm risking my neck. I know I'm talking to God and that he's almighty and he can wipe me out. I get all that. I know that he's sovereign. But I'm hurting. And I don't have an ill will or ill feelings against God. I love God. I just, why? What's going on? I need to vent. And I need you guys to listen. So this Sunday service is going to be a vent service. And I need you guys to listen. No, I'm only kidding. And then here is one of the most powerful statements. Look at the trust he has in the Lord. He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. In other words, I trust my God. And if he's allowing what he's allowing in my life, that doesn't change my faith in him. And I'm just talking, I'm going through a lot, but I love him. I trust him. And if he takes my life, if this is how it ends, I'm going to die trusting my God. What a way to live. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. Which, that's great. I mean, who else to go to but the Lord? He also shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite could not come before him. Listen carefully to my speech and to my declaration with your ears. See now, I have prepared my case. I know that I shall be vindicated. Who is he who will contend with me? If now I hold my tongue, I perish. You know, it's almost like Job, in a sense, is going before God. He says, you know, if I die, I die, but I'm going to go talk to him because he's my God. And if I don't say anything, you know, if I hold my tongue, I feel like I'm going to die. So I'd rather, if I'm going to die anyway, I'd rather die talking to him. Isn't that great? I mean, that's how I want to die, talking to Jesus. Lord, I'm ready. Oh, Lord. Now, here is, in a sense, his prayer. He says, only two things do not do to me, then I will not hide myself from you. He's talking to God now. Withdraw your hand far from me. Don't withdraw your hand far from me, and let not the dread of you make me afraid. I don't want to fear you to the point where I can't talk to you. And what a blessing that we can come to God. The scriptures tell us that we can come to the throne room of grace. We can come confidently, and that perfect love casts out all fear. And when we are mature in the love of God, then we're not afraid to approach him, even though we're sinners. Even though, to the core, remember what Paul said, in my flesh dwells what? No good thing. We know that. That's why we shouldn't pretend. I mean, we shouldn't be living that, Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace abounds? No, of course not. But we shouldn't pretend that we're perfect when we know we're not. So he said, don't withdraw your hand from me, and don't, you know, let the dread of you make me afraid. Then call and I will answer, or let me speak, then you respond to me. I want to talk to you about this. What is going on? How many are my iniquities and sins? Make me know my transgression and my sin. Why do you hide your face and regard me as your enemy? That's how he felt. That's not the truth, but that's how he felt. Will you frighten a leaf? Driven to and fro, he felt weak, like a leaf. Will you pursue dry stubble? For you write bitter things against me and make me inherit the iniquities of my youth. Now he's thinking, was it because of the things I did when I was a kid, when I was young? You put my feet in the stocks and watch closely all my path. You set limits for the soles of my feet. Man decays like a rotten thing. Let a garment that is like a garment that is moth-eaten. You know, he's just praying and expressing his cares. And so as we close, I don't know what you're going through today. I guess all of us can say, thank God we're not going through what Job is going through. I guess we can all say, no matter what we're going through, even though this is not a way to make light of what we're going through, you know, it could be worse. It could always be worse. But the beautiful thing is knowing that we can cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. We can come confidently and express what we're going through and say, God, I'm hurting. God, I don't know why you're allowing this. I know you're sovereign. I don't think you're doing this to destroy me or because of some sin. I don't know why you're allowing this in my life. But I know you love me, and I know you have a purpose. So I'm coming and casting my cares at your feet because I know you care for me. And God, just reduce me to love. Reduce me. Teach me through this. How can I glorify you in it? I need your help, God. I'm hurting. I'm hurting. And it's been a while. It's been going on for this long. And you know, God, I love you. And I'm going to trust you. to the end, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. He's a good God. And sometimes we go through bad things, but it doesn't change who he is. Again, I leave you with, when you don't understand God's purposes, trust his character. And Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace and your goodness. And we thank you that we can be built up in our faith as we study the lives of others and just see how they had a relationship with you, and even in their pain and suffering, they were very open. And God, we thank you for your love for all, especially the household of faith. And I pray for my brothers and sisters here that no matter what we're going through, what challenges we're facing, or what we've been going through for a time, I pray, God, that you would just continue to encourage and strengthen their hearts and give them peace. In Jesus' name, amen.